Y'all not there? All right, let's get this thing moving.
Houston, Texas, home of the Houston Dynamo. The Houston Dynamo who just finally ended a 7-match streak without winning. They finally did that on Saturday night when Chivas USA came to town. They played at Robertson Stadium on a rather warm, muggy evening here in Houston. And they picked up a 2-1 win. So it's something a lot of fans have been waiting for, going 7 straight matches without a win. It's, you know, yeah, there were a bunch of draws in there, but it was good to get that win. The fans appreciate it, and we're in a much better mood after the match, just like the players were. And we'll be jumping into some of the audio from the players here in a little bit. Match started off on a semi-positive note, or at least it seemed to be early in the match, like in the, I forget, was it like the 3rd minute? Bobby Boswell looked like he scored a goal. Unfortunately, the goal ended up getting called off because of a Hunter Freeman foul. So there it was, nice and early, and Dynamo fans were thinking, hey, here we go. We got a goal. This is a great way to start, you know, especially against Chivas USA, a team that's struggling over in the Western Conference, and a team that, let's face it, has struggled at Robertson Stadium ever since the Dynamo have started playing there in 06. But that got called off. It looked like there was something going on for the Dynamo. The fans were happy with it. Unfortunately, a few minutes later, the 7th minute, Marcos Mondini, and I'm sure I mispronounced that name, got a goal, his 3rd goal of the season. He picked that up in the 7th minute. That was unassisted. He wasn't a pretty goal because he kind of lured Tally Hall, Dynamo keeper, out of the box a bit. Tally thought the guy was going to take a shot. He hit the ground and hopes to block it. Marcos didn't take the shot. He kind of went around Tally Hall and got the goal. Just as an FYI, on an earlier posting on my blog, ZygoteSoccerReport.com, on my website, I do have little video highlights from the match, including that little number. So that Chivas goal kind of deflated the fans a little bit, but lo and behold, 29th minute, Jeff Cameron went and picked up his 2nd goal of the season. Lovely little just light touch off the back of his head off of a Brad Davis free kick. And that's what it took to tie it up, and that's the way they went into halftime. Then in the 56th minute, something that the Dynamo have just been lacking this season is luck. Well, luck finally shined on them, and there was an own goal thanks to Heath Pierce, or hey, maybe it was more due to Heath Pierce's mustache, as Dynamo Theory indicated after the match. But that kind of did it for the Dynamo. They picked up a 2-1 victory. They were definitely high spirits, and just to make things more on a, make it a more positive night for the Dynamo, Danny Cruz came in at 56th minute, got some good playing time. The downside of that is Eddie Robinson got injured with an MCL injury, and I think that's a strain is what they're calling it, MCL strain. But I think some fans are starting to think, you know, Eddie should start considering retirement, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. But Danny Cruz came in, got in some good minutes. He's been injured, and that's been hurting the Dynamo. Meanwhile, Brian Ching finally got some playing time again. He came in the 70th minute and managed to pick up 20 minutes in there. So that was good for him. Another guy who got some much appreciated, much needed minutes was Mike Jabala, who came in the 82nd minute. So it was a good result for the Dynamo and a good result for the I'm not even seeing the figure. It was a surprisingly large crowd, all things considered. Yeah, 19,000 people showed up. Considering the run the Dynamo have been on, that's pretty good. And the weather we've been having in Houston, that's a pretty good turnout. So let's take a little minute here and take a listen to what some of the players had to say following the match. Let's start with Tally Hall, the keeper. He's going to describe that Chivas goal. Then Tally's going to talk about Jeff Cameron, what he brings to the team, while Jeff Cameron will get to hear from the man himself. He's going to talk about his goal and also what it was like getting the win and taking the pressure off the team.
Yeah, just a missed pass. I mean, those things happen, and I thought the guy was shooting, and it looked like he closed his hips, so I went down with the shot. He did well, dribbled around me, and put it in. I got to stay on my feet, but really, I mean, the guys came together. We fought back. We got the victory that we deserved. I feel like he play anywhere, huh? Yeah. I mean, he did well in the midfield, and then Eddie goes down, and he comes in the center back and locks the game down for us, and we get a win. You know, so a player like that is invaluable on the field.
You know, we've been working on it in the day before the game, you know, free kicks and whatnot, and usually try to make that first or second near post run, and it was a good ball by Brad. I just kind of flicked it, and the ball did the rest.
I don't think it's a little bit of pressure. I mean, we still have pressure because you got to win your home games. But saying that, it's good to get a win under our belt, get some confidence going, and, you know, hopefully take that attitude and what we did tonight, all the good things, look over the bad things, and focus on next week against Columbus. I think that's what we're playing, right? I mean, it feels good to win again, especially after, you know, a month of not winning, you know, tough losses and, you know, tough ties, especially when we knew we deserved wins. And to come down, you know, behind a goal, scoring a goal in the first couple minutes and getting called back, and then, you know, giving up a silly mistake, but we fought hard and we came back and, you know, we won 2-1.
Like I mentioned earlier, one of the big points of the night for the Dynamo, even though he didn't score a goal, was the fact that Brian Ching got back out there on the pitch and got some playing time again. It's been weeks since the Dynamo fans have seen him suit up and get out there, Robertson. So, of course, that was a topic of conversation in the locker room after the match. And let's hear what Tally Hall had to say about Brian Ching playing out there. Then we'll hear from Jeff Cameron on Brian Ching. And then finally, Bobby Boswell will give his thoughts on Brian Ching's return to the match or return to the pitch.
Yeah, and it's always good kicking the ball to him. So it's good to see him back on the field and healthy, and you know, look forward to him contributing again.
It's a big boost, you know, knowing that he can hold the ball, create some chances. Just his presence on the field, you know, knowing it's Brian Ching, and it's good to see him back on the field again after all the injuries that he's had, and it's a good morale booster for the team.
Yeah, I say congratulations to him for rehabbing as fast as he did to get back on the field. He's been working hard. I know he's tired of riding the bikes and sitting on the sidelines, so it's good for him to get back in there. And He brought his experience in, held the ball up for us, kind of killed the game off, and that's what we needed. I always say as a defender, if you know you have a guy sub in like Ching, it kind of ruined your night, because it's like you fought one guy all night, and then you got an experienced veteran like Brian coming in to try to finish the game off. So it's good for him, and it's good for the team.
Up next for the Houston Dynamo is the Columbus Crew. They're back playing an Eastern Conference team. It's an important game, obviously, because of the whole Eastern Conference issues. And after the match, even though let's face it, the players don't get a whole lot of time to bask in the victory before they're being asked about the next game. You know, what are they going to do about that, especially when they're going up against a Eastern Conference opponent like Columbus Crew? So let's hear what Tally Hall and Bobby Boswell had to say about playing Columbus on Saturday.
They're a very good team. I mean, they got a lot of talent, and we came with the same mentality that we're going to play better, and we're going to get goals, and we're going to lock it down in the back.
Columbus, they've been a good team over the last couple of years, and they're a hungry team, and they're a conference opponent. They've always given us good games here, and we don't expect anything less this time around. They've got some good weapons and some guys we haven't seen before. They got some new guys in their lineup, so we got into a real physical game with them in preseason. I think it'll probably be a lot of the same this next weekend.
Despite the unfortunate run that the Houston Dynamo been on and coming up to this past Saturday's match when they finally got that win, they've managed to really keep themselves in contention in the Eastern Conference. Again, it shows you, much like the past couple of years, Eastern Conference just seems to be a bit weaker and it's a bit tighter and they're lower on points than the Western Conference. Right now, the Dynamo... MLS Soccer's got them listed in third place. They're more or less really tied with the Columbus Crew in second place. Both the Dynamo and the Crew have 18 points on the season, so that makes this match against the Crew on Saturday, who have just a load of injured players listed. We'll see how many of them actually end up playing and how many don't suit up. But it could be a rough night for the Crew, which could be a good thing for the Dynamo to take advantage of and kind of pull away and set themselves apart from the Crew. But right now, both Dynamo and Crew have 18 points. Sharing the top spot is the New York Red Bulls and Philadelphia Union. Both those teams have 22 points. So that's kind of the way it stands coming in this next round of MLS matches. And then just to make matters more interesting, the next game for the Dynamo is DC United. DC United right now has 16 points on the season, so it's definitely kind of a crunch time now for the Dynamo to really take these next few games seriously. I mean, you want to take them all seriously, but these, after playing a bunch of Western Conference teams, they're now going to have to face some of their rivals as far as, you know, getting some of those top spots in the East, getting a better shot at the playoffs. I know the playoff system's kind of skewed, so you could have the deck loaded to one conference, but let's face it, right now the Eastern Conference is going to be lagging behind the Western unless things really shift over the summer. It's important for the Dynamo to pick up 6 points in these next two games. The June 25th match against DC United will be at RFK Stadium. That's a place where the Dynamo have had some luck, so they're looking for their first real win on the road. Maybe that'll be a good time for that to happen for him. And of course, as I always do on my shows, I get you all a chance. I let you all listen in on Dynamo coach Dominic Kinnear's press conference. One of the things, if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll start to recognize is when the Dynamo win, press conferences tend to be shorter. And on Saturday night, it definitely was shorter. So have a listen.
Thoughts on the game?
Well, I'm happy that we won. You know, dug deep, giving up kind of a crazy goal. And, you know, I thought on the night we probably could have scored more. It's important sometimes to maybe score that third goal to kind of kill the game off. But we defended okay. Tally came out and caught some good ones. And we passed the ball around okay. So very happy. Dangerous runs at pieces all night long, which is a good thing to see. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been a while, and I'm very, as you see, the music's playing. Haven't had that in a while, and I'm pretty pleased about that.
Questions?
Not pleased about the music, but I'm glad that it's playing.
Coach, it seemed like it was a difference of half. First half, it seemed like you guys wasn't getting a lot of calls. Second half, it opened up for you guys. What was the difference maker for you guys going from the first half to the second?
Well, I think in the game, and I'll give the referee credit on the corner kick. I thought it was a foul. Yeah. You know, it looked like a foul to me. So it kind of roused you up a little bit. And then the goal was obviously one that, you know, it's not a good goal to give up. And just think, with frustration building as it was, thinking, okay, we've scored a goal now. It's taken away. Now we're getting a goal. It kind of builds on you. But I give the guys credit. We came in here at halftime pretty determined. The guys, it was all positive. Just keep doing what we were doing. Hit, you know, switch the ball as quick as we can. Hit those open spaces for Corey and for Hunter, and have Jeff make those late runs, which I thought he was doing well in the first half. So, yeah, it was kind of a fluky goal. A little bit of luck touched us, which we haven't had in a while, which is good to see. But overall, I thought, you know, deserved the 3 points.
How much pressure does the point take off you guys?
Well, I mean, it's 7 games, right? So we haven't won in a while. It takes a lot of pressure off. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and if you look at the standings, you know, the West is a couple teams running away, and the East is, you know, slowly those teams are starting to pull away. So it's a huge win first night with Philadelphia tie and New York winning last night. And just for overall psyche, you know, you can kind of enjoy your Sunday for a change, and then look forward to coming in on Monday. So, that, you know, it does relieve a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves because we're trying to win every game.
How's Eddie doing, you know?
We'll see. He's talking to the doctors right now, so probably have a better idea tomorrow. With the win, and I don't really, you know, sometimes you miss out on things. I'll go down in a little bit and see how he's doing.
And Ching, how did he do in his first action back?
Well, you stood up top. You probably saw the game better than me, so you got to tell me.
But no,
it's good. I mean, for us. And he's a good player. He's a good personality to have on the team. So to have him back, and I thought Cam battled very hard tonight. Cam's a little bit banged up, you know. And Cam gave us a good 70 minutes and had Brian come on. Some good movement. When he slipped through there, it just shows you that his movement is very good. It's just now a point of, you know, getting him closer to being 90 minutes fit. So I was happy to give him the time that we did and happy this contribution was a positive one.
Anybody else? All right, good.
Okay, enjoy the air conditioning, too. Yeah, if you want a good press conference, go to the visitor's locker room. It's colder over there.
Oh, uno, dos, uno, dos, tres, cuatro. See that black boy over there running scared, his old man in a bottle. He done quit his 9 to 5, he drink full time, and now he's living in a bottle. See that black boy over there running scared, his old man got a problem, and it's a bad one. He ain't done pawned off damn near everything. His old woman
Well, that's enough for the Dynamo for now. I would be remiss if I didn't spend a little time talking about the United States national team, the men's national team, and their current situation in the CONCACAF Gold Cup, the 2011 CONCACAF Gold Cup. Start off the tournament okay. Beat Canada 2-0. That's a good start. Second match, Panama. They lost it 2-1. Looking really poor, looking very uninterested. Let's be honest here, folks. When it comes to CONCACAF play, and the U.S. aren't playing Mexico, they tend to take a lot of the other teams in their confederation. They don't take them all that seriously. And you can kind of see that. They weren't up for it. I mean, even going into that match, watching on Twitter and stuff, U.S. fans were definitely had a very high opinion of the team and what was going to happen. It was almost like, even going back before the group stage started, let's go back before the group stage start. A lot of the attitude was, we're making it to the final. The U.S. is making it to the final no matter what. Well, guess what? To make it to the final, you got to win your matches. You got to succeed. You got to get points. You got to get goals. You got to advance. You don't automatically make it to the final, and that's the way U.S. fans were acting. That's the way sometimes the team looked like it was acting. Well, they got a wake-up call last Saturday when they played Panama and lost that match. First time the U.S. has lost a group stage match in the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Did it really give them a wake-up call? Did they learn anything from it? Hard to say. When they played Guadeloupe, they only won that by one goal, an early goal by Jozy Altidore. It was a pretty goal. It was the kind of goal you want to see Jozy Altidore make more. Outside of the box, from distance, with a lot of power on it. You know, too often he freezes up. He makes stupid decisions. He takes the ball too far into the box. He's busy trying to avoid defenders that he doesn't need to be wasting time avoiding. And he forgets to take goals. Or when he finally tries to take a goal, he's just not going to do it. He's just off target. He doesn't have a good line. Or, you know, it's pathetic sometimes what happens. So it was good to see Jozy do that. Will we see more of that from him? I don't know. Yeah, hopefully he learned from that. But the rest of the match wasn't so hot for the U.S. team. Dempsey, unfortunately, who's been one of the better players for the team in the tournament, he had a few bad moments in there. Really missed one sitter big time. That's the one Deadspin had a post about. He's not going to write a rap for this one. A lot of fans, I think, are disappointed because I think it's Guadeloupe. You should have won by more than one goal. Well, yes and no. Guadeloupe has some talent on the team. They haven't been one of the better teams in the tournament. They don't get to play a lot together because they're not really eligible for most FIFA stuff. They can't play in the World Cup. A lot of their players play in France. Some even play in the MLS. So it was a tougher team. It's a team, I'll say this for the U.S., Guadeloupe, as bad as they've lost some games, they tend to score goals. U.S. did manage to keep a clean sheet for once against Guadeloupe, so that was good. Sunday night, U.S. plays Jamaica. Jamaica has looked strong. They've looked dangerous. They've shut out all their opponents. They've won all their matches. It's going to be a tough night, and the U.S. better come into that match, you know, taking this serious, not going, hey, we made it this far. We're definitely making it to the semifinals in Houston on Wednesday, and then we're going to be out in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl for the final of the CONCACAF Gold Cup and get ourselves back into the Confederations Cup in Brazil in 2013. They can't be thinking ahead like that. They got to be focused against Jamaica. It's not going to be an easy match. What's kind of interesting from a Houston perspective is in the past, we've been used to some Houston players being on the U.S. national team. Now there aren't any, but there are some Houston players on the Jamaican national team. So we'll see what happens. I'm not holding my breath if they keep up this attitude issue, if they come out with a typical Bob Bradley conservative type of play, bad decision-making by him as who to start, where to start him, where to play him, how they should play. I'm tired of our attackers playing defensive and our defensive players not showing up. And U.S. fans should be tired of that too. Obviously, in the wake of the loss to Panama, it kind of coupled a bit with the loss to Spain, but who cares about that loss to Spain? The U.S. didn't even try in that match. Yeah, you've heard a larger cry about Bob Bradley, fire Bob Bradley, it's time to replace him. And the one thing that always annoys me when this comes up is you have certain people who are just like, oh, just because they lost, you're saying this. No, there's a lot of people, me included, who've been saying it for ages. We don't believe in Bob Bradley. I'm not Gary Kubiak. I don't believe in Bob Bradley. He doesn't have what it takes to get the U.S. team to the next level. He doesn't have what it takes to oversee the whole system and make sure the youth development's going on better. He doesn't have what it takes to make sure the scouts are out there looking under every rock and in every barrio and tenement and house without plumbing along the border for players with talent, with natural talent, or with the kind of talent that can be coached up. I mean, they're busy with this boring, tired system they have. They rely too much on the suburbs. They rely too much on club teams. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Soccer House is a house made of mediocrity. And everything they do is almost designed to keep the status quo. I doubt they're designing it to keep the status quo, but that's what happens. They lack balls to do anything serious, to take any risks. They fear if they take a risk and screw up, it'll hurt soccer in the U.S. Well, guess what? You can't hurt soccer in the U.S. I've mentioned that before. I've written about that before. You're not going to hurt soccer in the U.S. What you might hurt is you might make it so some people who pay more attention to European soccer or to Latin American soccer, South American soccer, you know, kind of look at the U.S. team and go, so what? They screwed up again. Guess what? Those people are already thinking that. They're thinking that when you're mediocre and you suck. They're thinking that when you're conservative, you use players you don't need to be using. You just make stupid mistakes and stupid coaching decisions. There's plenty of coaches out there who could kind of revamp this U.S. system. The problem is U.S. Soccer House doesn't want to give these people authority to do anything, to change anything. So, for now, guess what, U.S. soccer fans? I'm going to root for U.S., but I'm not going to expect them to win anything significant in my lifetime. Not when the suits are so inept. And until we see some sign that the people that run the system, that run the federation, have some balls, have some creativity, are going to take risks, are going to push the envelope, I say any U.S. player with a talent who's eligible to play for another country, do it. Because it's not worth wasting your time and your dreams with the U.S. The U.S. soccer team at this point. So that's my little take on that. We'll see what happens. I am looking forward to the semifinals here in Houston. Should be an interesting evening. One team who is dominating this tournament, in addition to Jamaica, is Mexico. I'm definitely expecting to see Mexico at Reliant on Wednesday night. So that's my take. Agree with me, disagree with me. Tell you what, I really don't care. It's my opinion. And that's what I use this podcast for, is to share my opinion. But if you want to let me know what you think, you can always email me at brian.zygo@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter, BZYGO. Also, you can follow on Twitter, HZ Report. Or not, sorry, it's not HZ, it's ZS Report. ZS Report, new Twitter account I have. I've rebranded an account I had before. I'm kind of still in the process of utilizing that one, but it's out there. And of course, zygosoccerreport.com. Check out my posts, whatever I put up there. I've actually, June's been a high water mark for the month for the post with a site with a whole bunch of posts going up there, some interesting stuff. So check that out and always let me know what you think. Until next time, enjoy. When you cast your eyes upon the skylines of this once proud nation, and you sense the fear and the hatred growing in the hearts of its population. Now youth, oh youth, are being seduced by the greedy hands of politics. The beaten generation, reared on a diet of prejudice and misinformation. The beaten generation, open your eyes, open your imagination. We're being sedated.
heated by the gasoline fumes and hypnotized by the satellites into believing what is good and what is right. You may be worshipping the temples of mammon or lost in the prisons of religion, but can you still walk back to happiness when you've nowhere left to run? The beaten generation, the beaten generation, reared on a diet of prejudice and misinformation. The beaten generation, the beaten generation, open your eyes. The barrels of a warm gun. The beaten generation, the beaten generation, reared on a diet of prejudice and misinformation. The beaten generation, the beaten generation.